Good morning. Great to have you here. I'm amazed the number of people in church on the, 11th of December. Give yourself a hand. Well done. I'm continuing on a message on a series that my wife started a few weeks ago. Game plan. We're going to game plan three. Are we still there with the boat? That looks like a nice holiday. Lying in the boat, wonderful, calm water, just beautiful. And so last week I shared a bit about the rowboat metaphor. And explain about that. The rowboat sort of symbolizes walking with God. And what I realize is, and the reason we're doing this, this series is that holiday time is sort of danger time. Do you hear the Jaws music? Do, 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 do. We have it in the corner there. Ashley, will you do it for us over there? Come on, you can do it. Do it for us. You can do it together. You can do it together.
Ours was a different version.
Says different versions. Okay, okay. I'll leave you alone. Anyway, danger time, December, but as I was praying last night, I just felt God saying more than just danger, I actually feel it's opportunity. It's more than just staying away from what is wrong. God actually wants to hold before us a wonderful opportunity, and I'm going to share a little bit about that, and it's about greater works, as it says there, which is the title of the message. And so I shared last week about the rowboat. Okay, your life is represented by a rowboat. You sit in your boat and you have two oars. Okay, grab your oars quickly. Come on. Just test them. Okay, you're in your boat. Good. Now, you must see this. The promises of God, which we find in Scripture or through prophecy, I'm not going to explain exactly how that works now, but it's like the destination. It gives you direction for your life. It shows you that is the way I should, the direction that I should row in. The promises of God are also anchors. So when the storms of life comes, when you hold on to the word of God and the promise of God is like an anchor going down, and you can sit through the storm. You can stand through the storm. Okay, so the word of God is very powerful. Without the word of God, you have no idea where to go. Okay, so I spoke about that. Then when you hold on to the word of God, when you hold on to the promises of God, when you believe the word, something happens. You receive grace, empowerment from God, which strengthens your arms, biceps, and triceps, so you can row. Okay, gives you supernatural ability to row. What is rowing? Rowing is obedience. Rowing is following God. God has said, now go that way. You believe his promise. You receive strength and you row. Okay, and then I shared, but many of us, we row once. And we think, I've not reached my destination yet. This Christian's thing, it doesn't work. No, row again. And again and again. And so I shared a bit about endurance. So often Christians start well. But it's not about starting well, it's about ending well. It's about being around here 50 years from now. If Jesus doesn't come back and if you can manage that age. But to keep going. Okay, so you need to keep on rowing until you reach your destination. Okay, so endurance. Very important. Okay, now let's look at John chapter 14, I want to build on that in terms of you have the promises of God, and now you need to believe those promises, okay? But there's so many things that break down our faith, and I want to touch on some of that, why we battle sometimes to believe. And last week I also shared, if you don't obey, you will fade away. If you stop rowing, the winds and the current will blow you off course. Okay. John chapter 14, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes, can you say believe? believes in me will also do the works that I do. That's profound. Now go read through the Gospels. Go read everything that Jesus did. I mean, profound miracles. I mean, bordering on the unbelievable. And Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And then it goes on and says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, anybody that has prayed and not had an answer to prayer would read that and think, huh? But I believe, didn't I? I trusted in you, didn't I? How does this work? Well, the key is where it says, whoever believes in me. And so I want to define, I want to give you a bit understanding of why I believe. Often we think we believe, but we're not believing. We're actually putting our faith in other stuff. And so I'm trusting that if we get this, that we can come to a place where we can truly believe and see the greater works, see our prayers answered, see lives truly transformed. And so God is really speaking to me, so I'm trusting that it's going to bless you. But faith in Jesus will give us the power to do His will. Okay, so we're going to look a little bit about what real faith is. Okay, so now, what is one of the major challenges or keeps us from obeying God? Okay, we're going to get to the faith one in a moment, but there's another reason. You're in your little rowboat, and it's filled with heavy stones, filled to the rafters. And so you weigh down with so many stuff that's just so hard to obey, so hard to row that boat. So look at the scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Think boulders in your little boat. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what is that speaking of? The weights and the sins. And so in a sense, I want to define quickly just what is holiness. What is holiness? I believe it's laying aside every weight. Why? So that your boat is light, so you're not burdened and distracted, so you can row and obey God. Okay, so holiness is being without weights. Holiness is like the power gives you ability to obey God. And I think often we miss it here with holiness. We think like, ooh, look at me, I'm so holy. No. That's not the idea. The question is, are you obeying God? Is it enabling you to obey God? And so often we miss in terms of what holiness is about. Or sometimes we do this one. Ooh, look at me. I haven't committed any major sins for 3 months. So what? Question is, have you obeyed God? Have you done His will? Has there been an outflow of holiness? Sometimes we find ourselves being religious. It's a type of Christian that most people don't like. They are holier than thou. They're always strutting around, look at me, how wonderful I am, and my life, and how much I have prayed and done this and done that. That's not the point. Holiness is not an end goal. Holiness is a means to an end. Holiness is a means to an end. You want the rocks out of your boat so you can follow Jesus. Does it make sense? You want the rocks out of your boat so you can follow Jesus. So in a sense, what is holiness? To be free from distractions. Should be on the screen there. To be free from distractions, ungodly passions, lusts, and obsessions that control our lives and that keep us from obedience to God. Is to be free. That's what holiness is. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Whenever you've experienced those things, Distractions, ungodly passions, lusts, obsessions that control your life. You're not in control. It's controlling you. If you've experienced that and you've experienced Jesus setting you free, that's amazing. It's like holiness is glorious. Holiness is not holier than thou. Holiness is getting the rocks and the stuff out of your life so that you can follow God freely. It's glorious. It's wonderful. So holiness is prepared for greater works. He prepares you for greater things. Okay, holiness is not the goal. Obedience is the goal, to know God. Okay, and then what often happens is as well, again, it's as it says there, it's a position of strength as well. What does it mean? Position of strength means so often you and I try to follow God in our own ability. We try to pray, we try to do things, and it's very, very hard. Why? Your whole boat is full of stones. Your whole boat is full of boulders. And now the pastor says, today we're going to pray for 20 minutes. And so you have to row your little boat 20 meters left. And you're thinking, oh, this is Christianity so hard. But now we go to another man's boat, and he's light, and his streamlined little boat, and think 20 meters, come on, give me a kilometer. Let's go for it. Holiness is a position of strength. And so that's why it's so important to come to a place that we are free so that Christianity can be fun, so that reading your Bible is fun. Who wants reading your Bible to be fun? I'm afraid to ask, for who is it fun? 1, 2. Boulders. I guarantee you, if you get the boulders out of your boat, the word's going to come alive to you again. Get the boulders out of your boat, you're going to be fun praying. But if we're so burdened, we have all these yokes, all these weights upon us, it's really, really hard. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. It says, if you keep yourself pure, can you say pure? Pure. You will be a special utensil or instrument for honorable use. Your life will be clean. Huh? Your boat, clean, no boulders. And you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. You will be ready. You'll be ready for the greater works, the same works that Jesus did, and even greater when we become clean, when we become honorable, when we become available to God, when we remain pure. I know in the many people think purity, it's not cool, you know, or holiness, it's so last millennium. You know, it's wonderful. When you have a clear conscience, no guilt, and you're tight with Jesus. It's amazing. It really is freedom. Your boat without boulders. So keep yourself pure. Not so that you can boast how good you are, but so that you can be an instrument in the hands of God. And so I feel God is speaking to me. He's saying to me, yeah, we're stepping now into a holiday. There's 2-3 weeks, next 6 weeks for some of us. Or even teachers don't get 6 weeks, sorry. Are you going to keep yourself pure? Are you going to remain focused? Are you going to add some boulders to your boat? Are you going to come back ashamed, guilty, guilt-ridden? Or are you going to be clean? Okay. How do you do that? Next verse. 2 Timothy 2:22. Run. Can you say run? From anything, say anything. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that now. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. It's amazing. The last bit, the companionship. Do you know when somebody starts committing some form of sin? The first thing they do is they try and stay away from church and from the small group and from other Christians. Because you feel guilty. Wrong thing to do. Don't run away. Rather deal with it. But it says there, run from anything. You see, your anything and my anything is two different anythings. I won't be bothered about your anything. You won't be bothered by my anything. It's no temptation for you. But you need to define what is my anything and then how am I going to sort it out? How am I going to deal? How am I going to run from it? Because when your boat is without stones, it's wonderful. Then you can truly live righteously. You can be faithful. You can love others. You can have peace. Most of us are going to have some family time this next two few weeks. Is it hard for us sometimes to love our family? If so, please raise your hand. It is sometimes hard to love family. Okay. But you need to be in a good place so you can love them, not judge them. Judging somebody will not bring them closer to Jesus. Judging somebody else's form of churchianity or going to church will not bring them closer to Jesus. Trying to be holier than thou, I can't believe you do those things. I don't. That will not bring them closer to Jesus. That will freak them out and they will tell how arrogant you are and they will run the other way. Okay? So you and I need to be in a good place so that the love of God can fill our hearts so that we can even love and be compassionate and patient with our mother-in-laws. Just an example. Sometimes it can be a challenge, but Jesus called us to love. So if your boat is cluttered, if you are burdened, if you are heavy, if your boat's full of stones and rocks and stuff, you're going to pick up a rock and throw it at your mother-in-law instead of loving her, okay? So you're going to take your issues and you're going to take it out on somebody. And that's so true. If you are without burdens, if you're at peace with God, then you can be patient and loving. Okay, so run from anything. And I must say, whenever I read and I listen to what's happening in many churches and Christians' lives, I'm shocked, to be honest. I'm shocked at how people's good, great men of God lose their way because this thing is not in line. Holiness, purity is not in line. They are not aware that it can take them out. There's now a church in America, 25,000 member church, sink solidly. Pastor divorce, everything in tatters. Why? Holiness. The boat just got filled with rocks and more rocks and more rocks. And what happens? It sinks. And some churches, which would be a big boat, sinks because of a lack of purity. It's very serious. It can sink our lives. These are the things that can sink us. Okay. Jesus stepping into Peter's boat. Look at this. Luke chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. Okay, so you're in your boat. Peter was fishing in his little boat. And then Jesus appears. And it says there, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So they were fishing all night long. And it says, then he got into one of the boats, that's Jesus, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Got into one of the boats. There's Jesus getting into their boats. And now amazing thing happens. Jesus teaches the people. And then he tells them again, guys, put out your boats into the water and go fish again. And then Peter says, oh, Jesus, we've been fishing the whole night. We caught nothing. But then he says, okay, fine, at your word, we'll do it. So they put out again. They cast out their nets, and they catch a huge number of fish. I mean, two boats have to come. Both of the nets are breaking. It's massive. A miracle. And then Peter responds in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He saw the miracle. He saw the sign and wonder. And he realized, this is somebody else here. The power of a great work. Jesus did many such great works. But also for many of us, Jesus has stepped into our boats. There's some point in your life you said, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Please come and live on the inside of me. And so Jesus stepped into your boat. Okay, so now let's look at that. Jesus in your boat and the effect of this. On the one hand, you have the promises of God. If you believe it, Jesus says, greater works will you do than even I did. On the other hand, you have competition. The promises of this world. I want to hold this before you because we're not always aware of the promises of this world and when we put our faith in those instead of in God's word. So we're saying, Jesus, I believe in you, but in our hearts, we're believing something else. So let's look at that. I'm going to break it down that you can understand what I mean. Okay, let's look at the holiday season. What is the promise of holiday? Hey, it's the season to be jolly. Fun, happiness, Christmas trees, awesome. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have a good night tonight, okay? It's holiday time. That's what it's promising us. How many people experience the opposite? They experience loneliness, challenges, lots of other things because they were going for the promise of holiday. And then it wasn't all it was meant to be. Who's ever come back from a December holiday and thought, yeah, that wasn't so great? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, I have been there. You're like thinking, what was that? Okay, but anyway, so the holiday promise. There's some other promises as well. Stuff like money. Money promises. When you hold those notes, it speaks to you, doesn't it? It's like potential. It speaks to us. And so often people could imply, the world can imply to us shame. You say, you're not very happy, are you? Well, who can be with so little money? I mean, get more and be more happy. You know, sometimes we think that in the bottom of our hearts and we start pursuing the stuff and the money and the promises that it holds for us. Do you believe more in money than in Jesus? Just putting that out there. And who's your faith truly? Money, stuff, or God? Look at this. James 1. Why am I sharing these things? I'm going to share a few others as well. Because when we put our faith in those things, it promises something to us, and it puts something on the inside of us. When you hold on to the word of God, it builds something on the inside of you, and you will obey him and follow him. You will grow. But when we put our faith and our trust in other stuff, it also plants things in you. James 1 verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires and enticed. So it's external desires being planted on the inside of us and then it draws us away. Don't know if you've, but every time I receive one of those adverts in the post, the game adverts, for instance, I ignore everything except the front and the back. Big TV. Big TV. It's a male thing. Big TV. Flat, fast, wonderful. And then you... and the more I, every time, open that up and I just look, I'm just going to look a little bit. Just a little bit. Then it plants something inside of me and say, I want that, you know. It's just sort of... I'm planting a desire on the inside of me. And if it wasn't for my beautiful wife holding me back, I would have probably spent lots of money on the wrong stuff. Thank you, God, for good wives. But look at that, drawn away by... In other words, what you expose yourself to, it starts planting things in your heart. And then the scripture says, you will be drawn away by your own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. No jokes. Bible is straight. It brings forth death. It leads to death. It leads to trouble. So the promises of the world creates desires in our hearts. So I want you over the next 3-4 weeks to to evaluate your environment, see all the marketing, all the promises. You'd think they took it out of the Bible, but it just replaced the name of Jesus with something else. You'll see. It's amazing. So anyway, so you get busy pursuing all your stuff. You're on your little boat, and you're filling your time. And so Jesus is on your boat. He wants to row with you, and so you're on your way. But now you're getting distracted. Now you're getting busy. And so Jesus is saying, hey, let's... But you're on your phone. Think, I'm busy on my phone. So you're busy on the phone. Excuse me, Jesus. I can't row now. I'm having a holiday. Or whatever, you know. Just so busy with stuff. So the boat, your time is becoming cluttered. And then it moves forward. What about shopping? I like malls. They're so pretty. All the pretty lights. But when you walk through it, there are these things that whispers. It says, come on, buy it. Buy it. Why? Because you're worth it. Huh? You've heard that. Because you're worth it. Then you tell yourself, I've had a long working year. So you tell yourself, I deserve it. I deserve it. And so it says, come on, shop. It says it'll make you feel better. Then you have other things that Lancome from L'Oreal, it says, nothing moves me more than beauty by Lancome. I don't know how you say it, but I think it's like that. Nothing moves me more than beauty by Lancome. Huh? No, Jesus moves me. I don't know about you, but it's amazing, the marketing. It says it holds before us, you know, if you just have the nice next pretty this, then you're gonna feel good about yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't look after yourself, that's good. But just what lies are you falling for the marketing? So you start filling your boat with shopping bags. You're getting onto your boat with shopping bags, and you drop your one bag on Jesus' toe. It says, oops, sorry, Jesus. It was a big perfume thingy, but smell that. Ah, it's wonderful. But so your boat's filling up with all your shopping stuff, and Jesus is moving to the bow. You know, there's no more space for him on your little boat because it's getting filled. So what about food? Oh, food speaks to us, doesn't it? I'll comfort you. Come here, my darling. I'll make you feel better. You're feeling down? Eat my little donut thingy, and you'll feel better. Steers, it's that good. Really? That's the marketing. It's that good. And so the other thing is a screaming, eat us, eat us, eat us. I'll make you happy. Coke, live on the Coke side of life. Really, I'd like to live on the Jesus side of life. But it's have this promise of adventure, of fun, if I could just have a Coke in my hand. Oh, what about Castle? The taste that stood the test of time. What? No, Jesus, the truth that stood the test of time. But this marketing, you just want to... Shoshalosa, something you want to, when the beer adds, you know, it's just like, Booker, it's the male thing, sorry ladies, but it's, you want to do that, you know? It's powerful marketing. Castle Lager, the taste that stood the test of time. Anyway, but everything is bombarding us, remember, these promises, it wants us, it wants our hearts, it wants our money, it wants us to fill a little boat with all these things. And then so along the way, Jesus like thinking, whoa, you know, I don't think this is working. Ephesians 5 verse 18. The scripture has been with me now for the last month or so. I've really been meditating on it. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So on the one hand, please don't drink too much. Watch yourself. On another hand, it's saying, don't be filled with anything else except truly the Spirit of God. Don't allow your life or your boat to be filled with other stuff, because it will in the end ruin your life. Why? Because you stop rowing, you stop obeying God, and you drift off. And there's some form of waterfall, a big drop. When you stop rowing, you go to the waterfall, and you might just go over there. So we need to cast off those distractions and things. Anyway, what about videos? Ay, 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 my weakness there. Not going to go into that, but there's a movie for every feeling, every emotion. Are you going to fill yourself with that? Because then again, it's promises. It promises. It promises us something. What about sport? Hey, it's not rugby time now, but it's cricket time. Proteas forever. And we can find ourselves, metaphorically speaking, you're on your little boat, and suddenly the whole 11 guys jump onto the boat with you. The whole cricket team. Shoshaloza. Huh? And so Jesus is now off the boat. He's swimming to another boat, and he calls, "Call me when you've got time, and we'll talk." There's no space for Jesus. And so you need to get them off the boat. It's not wrong to watch cricket. It's not wrong any of these things. But is it consuming you? Is it filling your boat? Or is it just an add-on? So all the promises of the world produces desires in us. And there are forces that are at work in our lives and can lead us astray. And they're all calling to us and they're saying, "Hey, over here. Hey, over here. Hey, over here. New car. Hey, that's going to be good. Hey, next, what this?" Promises you things. Are you falling for it? Because the thing is, if you put your faith in those things and your boat is cluttered and your life is cluttered, there's no space for Jesus, so you can't really believe in Him. In your head, you said, yes, you might come to church, and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I read my 10-minute Bible study thingy. I believe. No, you don't. You don't. Because you can't. There's no space to truly believe. And so I don't know about you, but I really want to go full on for Jesus. And I want each of you to go full on for Jesus. And so there's an onslaught of the world on every area of our lives. And you need to put gates on your little boat. Boundaries. To say, I'm not going to surrender what I have with Jesus. You see, the problem with this is as well. Almost finished. Hold on. Focus. Don't give in yet. The challenge is, for many of us, for some of us, we haven't really tasted the fullness of Jesus. Because if you have tasted the fullness of Jesus, then when you compare that to the Coke, it's like, I want Jesus. When you compare it to the movie, if you walk out there thinking, ah, was that it? Because I've met with Jesus. I know Jesus. And I've experienced that in my life. Everything and anything else seems hollow compared to my time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's so alive. It is so real. It is so out of this world amazing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then you'll see the hollow, empty promises of this world. And you'll throw it out of your life. So, ending off with this. John chapter 14 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, Jesus, will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But the challenging thing is that he who believes. But if your faith capacity is filled with belief in other stuff, there is no space for that. And so I believe God is calling us. He's holding before us 2012, he's holding before each of us this season, and I believe God speaking to me as well, he's saying, if you're willing to lay down some of those things, greater works is yours to come. You're going to pray, and I'm going to hear. You're going to do stuff, there are going to be miracles. Lives are going to be transformed. Why? Because you're full of Jesus. You're filled with the Spirit. So I want to hold this before you. To choose to pray, to say, God, help me. I want a clean boat. I want to cast out all the heavy burdens, all the distractions. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. What will it take for us to become serious about Jesus? I'm talking about the Western church in general, but us as well, myself included. What will it take for us to truly become serious about Jesus? Will it take persecution? Will we need to be persecuted? Will we need to suffer? Does our lives need to fall apart so that we can come to our senses? When we go over the cliff, will we then call out to the Lord and say, okay, fine, Jesus, I'm now willing to do it your way? What will it take? Do we have to go that way? Do we have to wait for persecution until we wake up and say, God, okay, need to focus. Need to get my boat clean so I can obey you. Clean so I can have an impact on my family this holiday. Need to be focused so that those who don't know you can hear the voice of Jesus. What will it take for your life for you to become serious about Jesus? I don't know. Only you can answer that. But I want to encourage us to pray today and say, Lord, I want to. I don't know how, but I want to. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, you love us so much. And thank you that in you there are such beauty. In you there's such glory. Oh God, I pray that we would not settle for second best, or third best, or tenth best, but that we would be real Christians in love with Jesus Christ, not just like the rest of the world. And so, Father, we pray for our hearts. God, we pray for our minds. We pray for our little boats, Lord. And some of our boats are so cluttered. There's no space for Jesus. He's just hanging there on the bow, about to jump off. God, I pray that we would take ownership of our little boats and I will get it clean. So that greater works can come. So that we can have real faith in Jesus Christ. Miss God, I just pray for each one of us, Lord. For a stirring in our hearts to not just do Sunday Christianity or 10-minute a day Christianity, but to really, as we sang that song earlier, I give you my life. All that I am, I give you my life. Jesus Christ, have your way in us, Lord. Let's just stand. And we're going to sing this song just as a consecration to God. And I know it's hard. I mean, there's a flood of stuff from the world coming against each and every one of us. It's hard to say no. But God is our help. So let's sing this song as a consecration of the next month. You don't have to say, God, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. You can just say, God, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to focus. You take it little bits. Little bits. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to sing that last song we did. All of my
shoulders. Love that's stronger, love that covers sin, takes away.
Lord, as the song says, take all of me, Lord. Just as our eyes are closed, I just want to give us an opportunity to respond. If you feel that your boat is cluttered, full of rocks and stones and distractions and things, or maybe just a few big stones, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for us. Just bring that before the Lord. There are many hands up. So just go for it. If you want to, just bring that before God. Just raise your hand. As Father, we admit, God, we admit that the world and the power of the promises of the world has really infiltrated our hearts and minds, Lord. And so, Father, we pray for each of us, God, that our eyes would open to see the lies, to see the false promises, and at the same time to see and know that your promises are true, your promises are faithful, and you are faithful. And so God, we pray that you'll come and cleanse, we pray that you'll come and wash, we pray that you'll come and help us to purify our lives. In Jesus' name. And then I also just want to ask, if you want the greater works that Jesus spoke of, to do the same works he did and more, if you want that, it's something you have to hold before you, this dream, this vision, this promise, this destination. If that is you, also just raise your hand. I just want to pray for us that God would help us and lead us on this journey. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you say to the whosoever believes in you, our prayers will be answered and we would do greater works through your power. And so God, we just say yes to that. And Lord, I pray for a download of a dream, of a vision, of a promise in our hearts and minds. May we see it over this next month, Lord. May it motivate us to say no to distractions. May it motivate us to say yes to time with Jesus. May it motivate us to spend time in your word and to pray and to seek your face. And so God, we pray for a hunger in our hearts and minds to know you and to follow you. Yes to greater works. Yes to obedience to Jesus Christ. Yes to having all the stuff in our boats cast overboard and filled with the glory of God. just pray the following prayer. And say, Father God, I thank you for this boat, my body, a temple. I ask that you'd fill this temple with your Holy Spirit and nothing else. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. If you, I encourage you over this holiday, or even working, just be aware of the promises put to you on TV, movies, magazines, internet, shops, all of that. Just be aware and just choose. No. Amen. Have a wonderful holiday or working season. Join us with some coffee. If you need prayer, you're welcome to join us here in the front and we'll pray with you. The Lord bless you. And if you haven't received a DVD or a CD, guys, Whale of a Tale DVDs and CDs, please get it there at the info table. Thank you.